Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
We are back here on the Franchise Focus Podcast series at FantasyGuru.com, and we're hitting all 32 teams before the draft. We'll look at each team, what has happened in their player movement, the key additions, the key losses, the fantasy implications, a quick look back at 2014, and even a little bit of a look ahead to 2015. And we'll look at some team needs as well as we head into the NFL draft. All 32 of these podcasts will be up for you before the first pick is announced. In Chicago, Illinois, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be on the clock. And in fact, that'll be our last podcast. We start from the bottom of the draft order, move our way up. Check out all the podcasts here at FantasyGuru.com in our Franchise Focus podcast series as we look ahead to the 2015 NFL season. But the MLB season, that starts next week. And FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. And Joe, I know that we get some FanDuel football. We talked about it during the season. And I know that you just did a couple of fantasy baseball drafts, but you're going to have to wait a while for those to pay off on you. When we start the baseball season next week, you might jump in right away on opening day, and maybe you make that entry fee back in the first day.
And let me tell you something. I'm an auction draft fan. I love doing auctions. But I was in one this week, Matt, and I got to tell you, the last second bidders drive me up a freaking wall. Wait until the clock gets down to 1 second and then put in that extra dollar. Guess what? You don't got to worry about that with FanDuel because you just put in your lineup when you're ready. You can take an hour to do it. You can take it a minute to do it. That's all that matters. It's up to you. You can play as much as you want, as little as you want. It is a fantastic way to play fantasy baseball.
Eric Hafner from California, he turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's the important stuff. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's up to a bonus of $200. Offer's only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU, G-U-R-U, GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Hey, as we were getting ready for our Packers Franchise Focus podcast, we kind of laughed in that, you know, if you're a Packers fan, you've been following the Packers for years, you know that when they get into the player movement time, when the NFL business season gets underway, it's not all that exciting. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It might not be a fun time for Packers fans when they're looking for the big move to happen in March. But when they're going in September and October, November, and they're keeping their guys around, and they continue to at least try to draft well, they haven't had all big hits on those. But, you know, this may be a boring time, but not really boring when you get to re-sign Randall Cobb and get to watch him play for another couple of years in the green and yellow and looked like maybe he wouldn't be back with the Packers. Yeah. We had some concerns about that.
Upset. Aren't we much happier that he's in Green Bay than in Oakland?
Oakland was the name,
right? Not that I don't like David Carr and where that offense is heading, but it's...
Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I mean, that's the... And remember, I don't think Aaron Rodgers was all too happy with how things played out in the NFC Championship game. I don't think he was particularly happy with head coach Mike McCarthy and maybe the direction of how the team was coached that day. So I don't think the Packers wanted to upset their franchise quarterback in Aaron Rodgers and let Randall Cobb go for maybe it wasn't going to be a big difference there to a team like Oakland. And he does re-sign with the Green Bay Packers, a big key for them. And now you look forward to what they have here. Not a lot different here. Jordy and Randall Cobb. I know Jordy got the big deal last year. Randall Cobb gets his deal now. Devontae Adams was their number three. Quickly moved past Jared Boykin, who is now gone.
Another underrated move. They kept right tackle Brian Bulaga.
Yes.
The offensive line.
And he was a hot name out there. So the guys they have kept are key players to their future. Not exciting. They're not going to make any big moves in terms of signing. It was a big deal when they signed Reggie White. That was a big deal that they signed and got Reggie White. It was a big deal a couple years ago when they signed Julius Peppers.
Well,
that was
White
a big deal.
Was essentially, he was like the first shoe to fall in NFL free agency basically ever. You know, that was when the new rules came out and, you know, there's the, he had gone through a lawsuit with the Philadelphia Eagles. That was a big deal. And the Packers, who kind of instituted the modern era of free agency, almost entirely abstain from it nowadays. But one thing that bothers me, guys, is there is very little nuance when talking about free agency in general as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. Everybody, they're always at the top of the winners list. Like, if somebody puts together a list of free agency winners, some smart ass is inevitably putting the Packers at the top because they didn't participate. Well, I agree. However, the reason they can do that is because of Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And don't get it twisted. Everybody's like, you know, teams go out and sign free agents. By the way, the Patriots did it last year and it worked out for them.
Right. There's no one way to win.
Exactly. But teams go out and sign free agents and they're like, oh, it never works out. Look at the Packers. Well, yeah, the Packers have Aaron Rodgers. Not every team has the luxury of an Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You need to build in different ways. The Packers build in a way that works for them because of the guy they have under center. And as long as they have that guy, by the way, still in his prime, they're going to be winning games. They're going to be making the playoffs, and for our purposes, they're going to be incredibly fantasy relevant.
They're going to go with, by the way, Scott Tolzien, looks like, as their backup, going to let Matt Flynn go there. And, Tolzien, they liked what he did. We saw a little bit of him a couple of years ago, but kind of came out of nowhere. They kept both Tolzien and Matt Flynn last season. He's going to be Rodgers' primary backup. But now you look at, you know, in terms of losses, there's still talk about what there's a deal out there for B.J. Raji. Their secondary did get, taken apart a little bit there. Is that an issue that we have concerns about going forward? Because, remember when you go back to the Super Bowl year a couple of years ago, that was a pretty darn good team from top to bottom. They won 10 games, but I remember Joe and I were actually at the game when they played the Eagles in Philadelphia, and we believed, regardless of seeding, they were the best two teams. They just kind of had some bad injuries along the way and had to fight their way into the playoffs. But then the defense started to kind of go backwards, and they had their issues the season when they went 15-1. That didn't look like that particularly great of a team, a dominant team, and defense was a problem. So now, do you have concerns about the defense of this team going forward? The offense can make up for it. We know that. They can put points up with anybody, hit those chump plays. But is there enough concern about the defense here going into 2015 that maybe this team has taken a slight step back when you look at the grand scheme of things?
Yeah, secondary, they're obviously a little thinner here with Tremont Williams and House leaving and, Hawk was just a mediocre player in the middle of this defense.
That might be being caught.
Yeah. So they have some spots where they need to fill in here. I mean, they've always done it through the draft here. I'm guessing that will be their, first couple picks of the draft will be on the defensive side of the ball. They're pretty solid. They've spent, a high pick on Devontae Adams and Richard Rodgers last year on offense. So I see them probably focusing on the defensive side of the ball in the draft there.
Here's another funny part about Packers free agency. I think you could make the argument that their most effective defensive player last year was a free agent signing, Julius Peppers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I thought it was a weird fit at the time.
Came out of nowhere when it happened.
Revitalized his career, moving him to outside linebacker, having him stand up. Can you expect that again from a guy like Peppers who's this late in his career? I doubt it. You need Clay Matthews to stay on the field. You need guys who have been picked in the last few years. Nick Perry, Dayton Jones, these guys need to step up. Mike Daniels is a really underrated player up front. But the secondary, I think, is really what's going to define things for the Packers. I like Casey Hayward, the corner, a lot. They have Sam Shields still there. I think HaHa Clinton Dix had an up and down rookie year, as you might anticipate.
Sure, absolutely.
He showed some signs.
He showed some very good signs. I don't think the defense is going to be a huge issue for the Packers, but if they give up a few more points, I'm not going to be too upset.
And you look at the other teams in their division. Detroit obviously has Calvin, who's probably on the back half of his career, but still a dominant player when he's healthy. They added Golden Tate last year. Eric Ebron, what will he do in year number two? Do they have the kind of guys to stop that? In Minnesota, Charles Johnson came on, and they added Mike Wallace to the mix, and who knows what happens to Cordarrelle Patterson. In Chicago, well, Brandon Marshall now comes out of that division, and he has had some quite good games against the Packers in the past. They still have Alshon Jeffrey there and Martellus Bennett. They added Eddie Royal to the mix there. Wilson as well will now move into the starting lineup, but the other teams didn't get significantly better. With the Packers and their secondary issues possibly coming to the forefront in 2015. And they're going to play a first-place schedule, as we know there. So they'll see Seattle, not too worried about what's going on there, although they will see Jimmy Graham with that this year. Dallas, they will see on their schedule as well, and they'll have to see Dez Bryant, as we know. And in the NFC South, they'll see Calvin Benjamin as well. So they're going to have some challenges there with that first-place schedule. But the division as a whole didn't really get significantly better on the offensive side of the football. Now, fantasy implications going forward, we know about Jordy. We know about Randall Cobb. These are number one guys. There's no doubt about that they're number one guys. Rodgers is a number one guy. Eddie Lacy is a number one guy. But what about somebody like Davante Adams? Because we bring him up as a number three wide receiver because he gets to play with Aaron Rodgers. And that's why, you know, when he was moving past Jared Boykin on the depth chart last year, it piqued our interest. We had to keep an eye on him. But a number, Joe, that I know you brought up a bunch of times with Davante Adams was, you know, how little he actually came through. There was a couple of flash games, even in the playoffs, but how little he came through in every other game. Five receptions four times, but in every other game, no more than two receptions and 21 yards. And I've actually been working on our bonus and distance articles, and you kind of see these games, and when are they putting up the big numbers? And you look for the trends, and you look for Davante Adams. Oh, well, he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, the number three receiver. They're going to throw it a bunch. Well, they also have Eddie Lacy, who's catching a lot of passes at the backfield. You know, the tight end position we'll get into in a second. Nobody really dominating there, but Adams didn't come through as much as we thought. You do wonder, though, does he get more chances in 2015?
I think he was hyped up because he was a good prospect, drafted in the second round with the Green Bay Packers. Very good prospect, and nothing that I saw from Davante Adams changes the fact that I thought he was a good prospect. But what we tried to temper expectations last year. We said, frankly, rookie receivers just don't really get it done often in the Packer offense. Randall Cobb was he had the opening game where he returned a kickoff for a touchdown,
right,
but didn't really do anything else as a rookie. Jordy Nelson wasn't great as a rookie. Davante Adams, aside from a game or two, wasn't great as a rookie. I do expect Davante Adams to take a step forward, but guys, I want to pose this question to you, and this is from Ron Ragaziano on Twitter, Ron at RonR20. He asks, thoughts on Davante Adams for this year? Can he make the leap to a wide receiver three? And in a 12-team league, that would be between 25 and 36 at wide receiver. Not lofty expectations, but as you see, they didn't lose really any targets from this offense.
I think he can. I mean, he's going to be a guy I'll be willing to roll the dice on late in the draft. I mean, we've seen these, you know, Cobb. We've seen it with Nelson. We've seen it with Greg Jennings before him. All these guys usually take, you know, a year or two to get, you know, make that leap. And, you know, he's a guy I'm going to want to take a leap. He has the skill set. He's a second round guy. You know, this tight end position, they're not getting anything out of the tight end position. So, you know, even if it's just a few more targets a game next year that he gets, he can, you know, jump into that three or four wide receiver.
What I would say about that is, you want shares of good teams. This is certainly one of the best teams in football and fantasy friendly, no doubt about it. I want to bring up, though, something, a lessons learned thing that we talked about, and you can check out that article at fantasyguru.com up for free. It goes up at the right after Super Bowl every year, is those guys that are four or five catch guys, you can kind of get them each and any week. Doesn't Davante Adams, in an offense like this where they have Lacy, who can catch passes, who's going to run the football 15 to 20 times a game, where you have two guys, Jordy Nelson's a top five fantasy wide receiver, and Cobb is in the top 12. You have two guys that are that high, and Lacy, what is Adams really going to contribute as a fantasy guy that is going to be worth keeping around? Like I said, you're getting shares. I'm not against the idea, kind of playing devil's advocate here. Isn't he kind of one of those four or five catch guys you can find in any week?
I was actually going to use that point to agree with Tom.
Okay.
Because I would much rather take a shot on a talented guy on an offense like this.
That's the thing.
As opposed to going after Doug Baldwin, who we talked about on the Seattle podcast, simply because he's viewed as a number one.
I'd rather I agree with that. And once again, getting a share of a good team is the point. So that's why you're thinking about it in the first place.
I would rather draft Davante Adams thinking, you know what, maybe somebody gets hurt, or maybe Rodgers just really likes him. Maybe this turns into a Denver Broncos situation where it can house three really good receivers at one time. And I would rather take that shot than go draft Greg Jennings or go draft Andrew Hawkins, because those guys are always out there on the waiver wire.
And I would say, I think
seen this offense house three wide receivers plenty of times over the last 10 years.
I think you made an interesting point there. That kind of maybe puts picking a guy like Adams over the top, is that if you want shares of this team, if a guy like a Nelson or Cobb were to get hurt, bang, you have a Davante Adams. Where if you're picking a four or five catch guy like an Andrew Hawkins, or, you know, what is Jarvis Landry to the Miami Dolphins, somebody like that, that you're not going to have really high expectations for, what other value do they have? Adams would have that bonus value of possibly stepping into a bigger role on a great team.
You know,
with a
little bit more of a, you know, ceiling.
There's a bigger,
there's
higher
a
ceiling.
A little bit ceiling.
Allow me
ceiling.
To point out that Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb have not been Iron Men in their career.
Right.
I'm not saying that they're missing 10 games a year, but Randall Cobb played 16 games for the first time in 2014.
That's right.
So there has been opportunity here in the past. I think Davante Adams, if he is being drafted like a high-end number three receiver, I wonder if that's a little pricey. I don't think it's outrageous, but if he's being drafted towards in the 30s at receiver, which is where I think he'd go right now, considering Cobb is back there, I would think that's a really nice price to pay for that kind of guy.
Yeah, and we are taking your questions, and if you ever want to get any questions in here on the podcast, you can tweet them to us. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Mad Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley, and that's where we're getting some of these questions here, and certainly include the team name as well. So we've gotten some as we threw it out there before we started the taping of this podcast that we got some questions here. Joe just mentioned one of them. Brad here on Twitter says, Jordy and Cobb combined for 25-plus of the 40 touchdowns for Green Bay last year. Do you see Lacy, Richard Rodgers, or another player eating into that this year? Now, Davante Adams is a name we just brought up. At the tight end position, once again, Richard Rodgers was a name we talked about going into last year because he was playing with Aaron Rodgers. Now, him and Corliss pretty much split things up and stole from each other and didn't make either guy really valuable for fantasy. Maybe only when you got to the playoff time, at that point when you're getting low on names and you're playing FanDuel or those one-week lineups, that's a different story. But regular season, you know, a guy like Richard Rodgers didn't get that chance. Do we see Richard Rodgers, Davante Adams? I don't think Lacy's role changes very much, that he's going to steal more touchdowns. But in terms of taking those touchdowns away from Jordy or Cobb, what I would say to that is they're so fickle anyway that I wouldn't put a hard number on that. And, you know, sometimes it happens. And you want to take a little bit of something away from Jordy. Can he keep up those big chunk shot plays? That's a lot to keep up there. I know it's a big part of their offense and what they do, and he is that downfield threat, but maybe some of those big touchdowns could come off the board for Jordy. I mean, he gets knocked out at the two on some of these plays. Then it becomes an Eddie Lacy touchdown. It becomes a Rodgers rushing touchdown, something like that. So these touchdowns are a little fickle to kind of predict, but with the big plays that Jordy was making, maybe you take the expectations down just a little bit.
And you always have to take the under, I think, on like a 13-touchdown season, even in this offense. Richard Rodgers, Tom, I think, is an interesting player to talk about. Just 22-25-2 last year as a rookie. Not a great year for rookie tight ends, even though it was perceived as a really good class.
All of them struggled.
That was actually kind of a bigger type of line for a guy. I think Richard Rodgers might be a guy who is going to be available in the 11th, 12th round. And if I'm waiting on tight end, which is once again more viable than it even looked like last year because of Julius Thomas and Graham moving into new spots. I think Richard Rodgers is a guy who's probably going to be on a good number of my teams, and especially in best ball formats, which I'm going to start up soon, simply because of the offense he's playing in. I wouldn't be surprised to see him score 5 or 6 touchdowns.
And going back to the touchdown question, Rodgers is a guy, he's 6'4", 250-some pounds, can split out wide down by the goal line and, you know, get him in those one-on-one situations. You know, he could be a dangerous guy in the red zone. And we saw Cobb, he scored an inordinate amount of touchdowns down by the goal line last season. That, you know, we'd never done that, never seen that from him before. And maybe it was because they didn't have a James Jones down there anymore. But, you know, maybe, you know, Richard Rodgers can start taking some of those old James Jones touchdowns that were there.
Let's talk a little bit about now draft needs, team needs. Where does this team need to go heading into the draft in 2015, just a few weeks away? I would have to think they're thinking defense here. We talked about the secondary issues. Now, the safety position, they had HaHa Clinton Dix last year. We know about that, as Joe mentioned earlier. Not real deep this year, but corner is a position I would think they'd focus on. And can you ever have enough pass rushers, especially if you have issues in the secondary? You got to get after the quarterback to maybe mask some of those problems.
Clay Matthews often hurt. Remember, they moved him inside last year as well at times. Nick Perry finally started to show some things. He's been a guy who's been hurt a lot. Julius Peppers is up there in age. Fortunately for the Packers, you look at two major needs. Edge rusher, corner. It's a really good draft for both. So they are well aligned with this draft in terms of their team needs. And
could you see them keeping Matthews inside at all? Since the draft is so, you know, so well stocked at pass rusher?
I think he's better outside.
Yeah, I know he's better outside, but they've had some struggles inside.
They really have. I could see that happening, absolutely. And these edge rushers, and you got to understand, in the NFL, none of these guys play 70, 80 snaps. They rotate a lot of these guys, and they play them in different roles. So if you want to keep your guys fresh and rushing the passer, especially when you got somebody like Peppers, who is getting up there in age, you want to limit his snaps and keep them effective. I could see the Packers going that route. One area where I would be surprised, guys, if they spent a high pick, would be at the receiver position.
Yeah.
Two guys we didn't even talk about yet are Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis, two receivers they drafted in the later rounds last year. Aberderis from Wisconsin missed the year with an injury. He's more of a slot guy. And going back to the point about, well, Randall Cobb's injury history, what if Randall Cobb goes down? Does Aberderis step in? Jeff Janis is one of those athletic freak receivers that they've really liked to draft, and he's an interesting dynasty prospect who we haven't seen a bunch of, but he's kind of buried on the depth chart right now. I don't think they have a need there. An area that I'm interested in, though, what about running back?
I was just going to bring that up because, look, Starks has done a fine job as kind of a change of pace, really solid backup, number two. I think he's now found that role the last couple of years, and it's worked out fine. He was number one a couple of years ago before Lacy, but he's found his spot now as that number two, as that backup. Certainly looks quicker in that role, but would they look a little bit more to the future for a younger guy there? Not that Lacy's going anywhere, we know that, but could this be a spot for the Packers where they're almost working at a spot of out of a spot of luxury with a running back spot?
That, and both these guys have done a good enough job as, you know, pass catchers and on third downs, but, you know, do they look for a complementary type back that could, you know, specialize on just third downs and receiving situations, you know, which would obviously, you know, kind of hurt Lacy's value a little bit going into next year, but That could be a piece that they might be looking for to give Rodgers another, you know, weapon out of the backfield.
Guys, Justin Cohen tweeted at me, @Justin_Cohen. He is a member of Mongo Nation.
Oh, good for him.
Listens to the program, and he asked, is Jordy worth a first-rounder this coming year? And it actually leads me to a point. I want to talk about the Packers' high-end fantasy options in general. Is it possible to see the Packers as the only team that could have 3 picks in the first 15? You have to think about Lacy. Lacy, I
got 4, depending on your Rodgers legs. Yeah, with Rodgers.
Lacy, I think, is top 4 or 5 at running
back. He will be a first-round pick.
No doubt about it. First half of the first round. Jordy Nelson in redraft, I think, is still a first-round pick. The numbers last year, 98, 15, 19, 13. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. He's one of the most efficient receivers, if not the most efficient receiver, in the NFL when he's playing with Aaron Rodgers. And he's entering his age 30 season. He's not 30 yet. He turns 30 in May. I have to imagine that Jordy Nelson's going to be a very popular first-round pick.
Would you take Jordy Nelson before LeSean McCoy in a PPR?
Absolutely.
Would you take him before DeMarco Murray in a PPR? You think about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
You think about it.
Yeah. Murray, I think, because the presence of Ryan Matthews and Sproles is interesting.
New
Nobody's
team.
Challenging Jordy
New
Nelson.
Team and 393 carries last year. I'm saying the fact that we can have that conversation about Nelson, that you could say, I know what I feel safer about him. I know his role. I know the team he's on. And I know he's not coming off a season where he got worked like DeMarco Murray did.
And I think he's a really safe option. I definitely think he's a first rounder. I think Randall Cobb, you can argue, is on that cusp in PPR leagues.
Just slightly behind him, I would say. Yeah, he's probably in that 6 to 8 range of wide receivers.
Yes.
91, 1287, 12 for Cobb. So he and Nelson, very close in fantasy, both PPR and standard leagues.
And I think Cobb could even make some more bigger plays than we saw. That was what Nelson did last year.
And back to Eddie Lacy, the guy is rock solid. One thing I'm a little concerned about, just a little bit, he made a few bigger plays in the passing game, which I'm glad he made them, but they were kind of fluky. You remember missed tackles, and he can force those.
Yes.
So I'd be concerned about that.
What I'll say about that, though, is this, is that for the first 2 years of his career, he has had bad starts in September. Coincidentally, both happened when he had concussions. So does that kind of even off if he doesn't have another concussion or can avoid the slow start? Does it counteract maybe some of the big plays that didn't happen? Because over the first month of the season, people are going, why did I take this guy in the first round? What the hell is going on? And then obviously after that, he was top five all the way. No issues whatsoever, not worrying about it. So if he doesn't get off to that slow start, if he avoids that concussion, hopefully he does, for what would be a third straight year, and he doesn't have those big plays, does that kind of counteract? Is there a balancing kind of deal there that it's not that big of a deal? I know what you're saying, because that could be fluky, especially for a guy like him. It's not his game.
He's not
game.
Darren Sproles.
No, that's not
his
game.
That's why I pose that question. Do they go out and get a receiver, receiving?
Do you want to remember, 2 years ago when Rodgers got hurt, Lacy was carrying the ball 20, 22, 25 times a game, and they were okay with it. He didn't have to be that guy last year, and he is one of those guys that maybe it's not the first thing you think of in terms of him being a pass catcher, but he's certainly capable enough to do it, and it helped him hit that 100-yard mark so many times last year. Even if he didn't get it on the ground, he only had 3 or 4 100-yard rushing games, but it didn't matter. And that's the kind of guys you want to take in the first round of your draft. But I'm with you. I think it would be nice to have maybe not a guy you're expecting to catch 35 balls out of the backfield, but to be a threat to be that guy if you want to give Lacy more of a break. And it does help Lacy that they have such a great passing game with all those guys around him. So
one more.
Yeah.
Is Rodgers the top quarterback, or is Luck overtaking him?
I would take Luck first.
Okay. I'm a Rodgers. I'm in the Rodgers camp.
But I would go Luck.
I'll tell you this: I wouldn't. I'm not drafting either.
Just hypothetically.
Right. I would take Luck, just because he was that good last year.
I think I'm still in the Rodgers camp because of Nelson and Cobb, but they're so close.
What I would say about that, though, is I think that Luck has gotten more help now in the passing game, adding Andre Johnson to now a T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief group. Both tight ends did a fine job last year, and their defense still isn't very good.
Yeah,
now,
that's
the Packer defense is going to come back a little bit, but the Colt defense doesn't impress me at all. So I still take Luck, but it's close. None of us are drafting those guys high anyway, so that's where it comes down to. So there's our look at the Green Bay Packers, and with the 2015 NFL season, the draft coming up in within the month, we're still looking ahead, but the MLB season, that starts next week, and hey, FanDuel, that's the place you want to be. It's more fun than ever to play fantasy baseball. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now. Play one-day fantasy baseball, FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait all season long to collect. You can play on the same day and collect your money on the same day. That is a thing of beauty. Pick a brand new team any day you want. Maybe you had a good day and you go, you know what? I'm gonna sit back. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the games and not watch and not play. I'm going to enjoy my winnings. Maybe you had a bad day and go, I'm loading up again. Let's go. Maybe you want to go, hey, I'm on a roll. Let's keep it moving. You might want to do that. You can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And Tom, we've done a couple little different things in terms of baseball drafts and a home run derby draft, stuff like that, different ways to play. Here's another way to play, and we were talking about a lot of this during the football season. You want to ride it high. You want to keep it rolling. You want to, you know, have a reason to watch that late night game on the West Coast. Or, you know, if you're a Pirates fan like you are, a Met fan like I am, why do I care about that Athletics Mariners game? Well, now you have a reason to watch that game.
Yeah, I'm usually a National League guy, and I'm always watching National League games. But, hey, I like watching baseball late at night before I go to bed, throwing an Athletics game.
Maybe you want to watch that Sunday night interest. National game on ESPN or something like that. Now you have a reason to do that. Eric Hafner, hey, he's all about it. He's from California. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's going to pay out more than $2.5 million every single day of the MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Here's where you listen up real close. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code GURU, G-U-R-U, and sign up now. We have a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we bring this fantasy podcast here, the franchise focus podcast, to a close here at fantasyguru.com, looking at the Packers. As we said, we want to get your questions in. We want you guys to be a part of it. And if you want to be a part of it, get your questions in. Use the hashtag franchise focus. We'll usually give you a little bit of a heads up on Twitter before we start taping these, or the day of, so you know when kind of maybe your team is up or a team you have questions on.
Yeah, then you get the lesson in to see if your question
is right.
The podcast.
And we got all the questions in today that were asked of us. So if you want to do that, you see a team's coming up, or maybe you're thinking down the road. Maybe I got a Bucks question right now. I know that that's not going to be out for a couple weeks, but we'll file it away. I promise you that. You want to use the hashtag franchise focus and tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru Site. For me, at the Matt Camp. Tom, you're
at FG underscore Brawley, and that's B-R-O-L-L-E-Y.
And Joe?
At FG underscore Dolan, D-O-L-A-N.
Follow them. Follow all of us. And send your questions in for all 32 teams. If you're listening now, you've already heard possibly the Patriots podcast. And we've got Seattle. We got the Packers. We're going from the bottom of the draft order all the way up. So the Buccaneers will be the last one. So get your questions in. Stay tuned for a lot more of that. Check out the pre-draft rookie report up on the site. Check out the post-free agency podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. A lot of great stuff in there. Plenty more to come right here at fantasyguru.com. So for Tom Brawley and Joe Dolan, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at fantasyguru.com.